X Heyman and Firing Line off of his magnificent new album X, and all the way from New York City, I've got the man himself, Richard X Heyman. Richard, how you doing today?
Hey, Mike, pretty good.
So grateful for you joining me today on Twirl Radio. Congratulations on the new album X. How long has it been out?
Oh, thank you. Oh, just a few weeks now.
Okay,
just getting started with it.
Awesome. And, you know, you're one of those artists whose name has been out there a long time. I feel like lots of people know of you, but don't necessarily know your music. Although I think the folks in the know certainly know you and know who you are.
Well, I think my initial following were sort of people closer to my generation, which is sort of like the baby boom generation. And then, you know, you just can only hope that things get passed down, and with all the social networking and new technology today, you know, there's all kinds of options for finding new people. So it's been interesting.
I think so. And, you know, what's interesting to me is the album X sounds a lot like the music that I really loved back in the early 90s, the alternative stuff, maybe pre-Nirvana, just had those guitars, and the insightful lyrics. So it's funny, you've been around longer than that, but that's kind of the era that this album reminds me of.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I just wanted to get back to guitars on this album. The previous album was kind of a piano album that I did.
Ah.
Confused a lot of people because I had sort of this reputation as being a guitar jangle. Some people put it as power pop. I've never really considered myself in that genre, but that's what I've been classified by some people.
Interesting. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are part of the power pop community, and it's funny because when you ask them who their influences are, they go back to the Beatles, Stones, Who, and Kinks. So those wouldn't be considered power pop bands, but they are the basics.
Right. Well, that is just, you know, kind of the golden age of rock and roll. You had the 50s stuff, of course. I'm a big fan of, you know, 50s rock, like Everly Brothers and Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly, and that really kicked it off. But then I think the greatest stuff, at least in my opinion, was the mid-60s. And then you just had a lot of kind of reactionary periods. I felt like the 70s was almost like a reactionary decade to the 60s. It was kind of like everybody in the 70s was like, what just happened? What was that? You know, thinking about the 60s. And it was sort of, how do we compete with that? How can we top that? How can we be different from that? So it was all kind of a reaction. And this is, of course, me spouting opinions here, and I may be, you know, totally off base to some people. That's how I felt. Living through the 70s was like, the 60s was so, like, just ridiculously incredible with the amount of talent that, you know, you took for granted on top 40 radio. And between the British groups and the Motown and soul and R&B acts, it was all just kind of bombarding you.
Quite a revolutionary time. And then you kind of got into the solo album making in the late 80s. What was it about that time for you where you decided to start doing that?
Well, I was primarily a drummer, so I like just kind of kept throwing my eggs into the drummer basket of different groups.
Ah.
I would just sort of sit back there. I wasn't even singing pretty much for the beginning of my career. I was just a drummer. And, you know, I'd be in various groups, and you'd try one out for a few years, and then nothing, you know, great would happen, or some things would start to happen and would fizzle out. And so at this certain juncture, I just said to myself, I should just go totally solo, because if I break up with myself, then I'll know I'm in big trouble. You know, I figured, you know, if I can just stay together as a solo person, then maybe things will work out. And so I tried that, and that's why I got into the kind of one-man overdubbing syndrome.
I have a friend in Australia, Joe Algieri, who is pretty much in the same boat. He's a one-man band producer, does it all, and he's got a song called I Play All the Instruments, and he's got a line in that song that says, we never have any band fights.
Yeah, that's it. But that said, you know, there's something amazing about being in a band. I mean, just the interplay between human beings is something you can't replace. So.
And in terms of the technology, you know, during the past decade, the tools have become readily available for musicians to record, produce, and mix their own music on a very low budget in modest surroundings. But you've been doing that for a very long time. You're kind of the original do-it-yourselfer, the original DIY guy. It seems like the rest of the world has caught up to what you've been doing all along.
That's why I got into it, because being a drummer, I could lay down the foundation of the track. And then the other instruments were just extensions of my drumming. Definitely my piano playing was just another percussion instrument to me. And then the guitar I struggled with at first because my hands were kind of ham-fisted, as most drummers are. You know,
oh.
Really think about using that kind of dexterity in your fingers as much as a drummer as you would as a guitar player. So it was a little struggle. And then I finally figured out how to play the basic chords. And then I just, over the years, taught myself how to play kind of Chuck Berry riffs and things that you can incorporate into lead playing.
Well, you sound like a monster guitarist. I mean, this album X is just chock full of all sorts of guitars. I can't even count how many. You're just, yeah, your playing is wonderful. I would have guessed you were a guitarist first, just from the sound of it.
Oh, well, thank you. I really am a drummer first and foremost. And I've hopefully over all the years I've been playing, you do start to, you know, get a few chops together on the various instruments. So a big inspiration for this album, by the way, was for my birthday, a bunch of my friends and family chipped in and bought me a Stratocaster, Fender Stratocaster, which I've never had before. And that guitar kind of inspired me a lot in the production of this album. And it's all over the album with a bunch of other guitars.
That's fantastic, and what a gift. So how would you describe your sound and genre? I mean, if you had to put a label to it, what do you think you would call your music?
I feel I come out of the tradition of the singer-songwriter. I work hard on the lyrics that rarely get mentioned in most of the reviews because, you know, most of the critiquing is about the sound and the guitars. Just would have to say rock and roll is the basic category, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sound is what grabs me first, and then I hear a word or a phrase and I want to explore more.
I'm the same way with lyric. You know, it's like music is, you know, a listening experience, and it's the overall sound and effect that it has on your emotions while you're listening to it. You know, even when I listen to Dylan, who I love, it's first just the whole sound of it, and then I start to figure out what he's saying and the lyrics, but it's the sound and the way the words are married to the music. It's all kinds of things that are happening.
That makes sense. And as a non-musician, non-songwriter, I will continue to be amazed at how that all comes together. I'm here with Richard X. Heyman. We're chatting about his career in music and his new album, X. Why don't we take a quick break? And Richard, what song of yours off of the X album would you like to hear right now?
Okay, well, I think I'm going to go with Somebody Has Finally Found Me, which is an autobiographical song of mine. It's a story about how I first encountered my wife, Nancy.
I love that story. That's one of the best love songs I've ever heard, because to me, it's not just a sappy love song. It's pretty much celebratory. That's how I feel about love. It should be celebratory.
Yes, 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 definitely. I mean, I felt that it was a twist to say, you know, somebody has finally found me, as opposed to, you know, I found someone. You always hear about how you found someone, but too many songs about somebody finding you.
That's the first one I've played off the album on the show, so let's give a quick listen. Richard X. Heyman and Somebody Has Finally Found Me here on Twirl Radio.
When I hit the Bethesda and my parents did, I put out the word I was looking for. A call from a woman one day. She said, I'm looking for a drummer. I heard you could play. I rang her bell on a winter's night. Our eyes locked in and it all fell right. She was home from school for a few more days. My life was to change in so many ways. Somebody has finally found me. sat down in the kitchen and began to talk. And I thought to myself, I just might walk down the aisle with a waiting man. Hunts a future day someplace, somewhere. Somebody has finally found me. Somebody has finally found me. Somebody has finally found me. Somebody can me.
Richard X. Heyman with Somebody Has Finally Found Me. Just a rockin' love song. And as we said before, it's absolutely celebrating love and celebrating somebody finding you. And that's how I look at it, too. Richard, what was the motivation behind the whole X album?
Well, what happened was I was determined to make an album kind of like a Joni Mitchell album, like Ladies of the Canyon or Blue. I'm a big Joni Mitchell fan. And that album was my previous album. It was called Tears. And it was going to be all acoustic with orchestration and got a little more involved in that. But and it was definitely going to be a piano album. So I just got into this binge of writing, and I just came up with a lot of songs for it. And I just had an overload of songs. And that album was a double album with like 30 songs on it, believe it or not. So I had all the songs that didn't make that album to begin with, and then I kept writing, and it was time to make another album. And then I got this Stratocaster for my birthday, and I just started to think, I really want to get back to just a heavy guitar album with just a lot of guitar textures. But I did have a lot of these piano songs. And then I came up with this idea, what if I transpose these piano parts to guitar? Literally, like the actual intervals that I'm playing on the piano and the piano riffs that you would never play on guitar, note for note, if I transpose those to a guitar, what would happen? So I started with this song, When Denny Dropped Out of the Scene, which leads off the album. And it's note for note of what I played on the piano, but on the guitar.
Wow.
It's a very slow and painstaking process because a lot of these piano figures just aren't something you would naturally play on the guitar, and your fingers would be in these contorted positions to try to find the chords that you were playing on the piano. But I was determined to try it as an experiment, and that sort of started things off. And there's a number of songs on this album that started out as piano songs from the Tears sessions from my last album. So that was sort of the beginning, and then I got inspired by what was happening, so then I switched over to guitar and started writing new songs for the album on guitar as well. So it's a combination of a bunch of piano songs transposed to guitar. And wherever you hear piano on this new album, It's just because I couldn't figure it out on guitar. It just was too difficult. And I'd give up, and so I'd say, I'm just going to keep that a piano riff or whatever. So
interesting.
There's a few keyboard things you'll hear throughout the album as well.
Very interesting. Now, what inspires your songwriting?
That is, you know, the, I would say, the $64,000 question, except I'm not making any money from this. So, you know, I guess like with anything creative, you have this sort of desire to create something, and you know, you can't really question it too much. It's like when I was 5 years old, I knew I should be a drummer. Where that came from, I don't know. I just started bugging my parents to get me a drum set. You know, now how does a five-year-old kid, you know, even think that through?
Right.
I just had this instinct that I could play the drums. I must have seen some drummers on TV or, you know, listening to my father's Benny Goodman albums, and I was listening to Gene Krupa, somebody rich, and I just said, I think I should be playing the drums. And I start to pester them. You know, by the time I was seven, you know, I was sitting, you know, behind the kit and really playing like a professional drummer. I just had that ability. You know, with anything creative, I guess you either have this inclination and some ability to do it or you don't. And, you know if you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So with songwriting, you know, I mean, most songwriters kind of hedge, you know, how they do this and that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it usually, unless you're a real professional songwriter that, you know, has a certain method, you know, I think for most rock and roll songwriters, it's just kind of a combination of different things that happen. You're either noodling around on a particular instrument, you know, if you're sitting with a guitar or a piano, he's just kind of playing, and all of a sudden you kind of have some inspiration, some idea comes, or you hit some chord changes that spark some idea. But I've written many songs riding in my car or walking down the street without an instrument. Those are the most interesting ones.
Wow.
Because so just this melody just sort of starts stirring around in your head. You're just hoping to go, you know, you can retain it by the time you get home.
Wow. Interesting. And lyrically, I've heard a lot of different things on this album. What is your general worldview? What's your overall outlook on life itself?
Well, I consider myself an optimist. My wife would differ. Pessimist, but I was just thinking something along these lines the other day, because I was reading how the Earth is spinning around on its axis over 1,000 miles an hour. We're just spinning around, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, going around in circles, and then we're like flying through space at 67,000 miles an hour, and yet everything is just so still and peaceful, and how that is even feasible is so beyond me that I can't even think about, you know, things about my worldview. When you think in terms of that, you know, we're just on this ride going through space. It's just incredible.
I'm just glad that gravity keeps us glued in place.
That is a big deal. Gravity, definitely. But I think, in general, I'm at this point now where I'm just really, really thankful, you know, just to be around. And just every morning now when I wake up and get out of bed, I'm like, wow, I've got another day.
Absolutely.
It's kind of an amazing privilege.
And you've kind of pre-anticipated my one controversial question. This is the one I usually save for the end. And the question is, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Yeah.
Oh, well, watermelon.
Ah.
Without a doubt. You know, I'm basically, you know, I kind of was an agnostic. I'm probably leaning towards being an atheist. But the one thing in this world that kind of keeps me from being a total atheist is watermelon. And I always say, as I slice open a nice green watermelon, maybe there is a God.
There is some higher power that put watermelon on this planet for you to
enjoy. Yeah, because, you know, why is there watermelon? I that's my question. Why is there something so perfect?
Absolutely. So I'm here with Richard X. Heyman, and how can my listeners find out about you and your music, and where can they purchase X or any of your other albums?
Well, let's start with the basics. I have a website, richardxheyman.com. And for those who don't know, my last name is spelled H-E-Y-M-A-N, as in Hey Man. Mm. And as far as buying the album, you can buy it through our website, or you can buy it all the usual suspects, starting with Amazon. And I don't really know the whole litany of online record sites, but I'm sure your listeners do more than I do. They've all got it. So if they, you know, they know the internet, they'll find it. But the album is called X, and, you know, you can start on my website or Amazon for sure.
And Richard, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Swirl Radio.
Thank you, Mike. I really enjoyed your questions and kind of put some new ideas into my head, things I wasn't even thinking about.
I appreciate that. And we've got a little more time. Can we play one more song off the album X? And
oh, boy, you're putting me on the spot here. Sure you don't want to pick one?
Well, gosh, there's so many good choices. Wow. You know what? Verges on the Day has a really great sound to it.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. That's my debut as a slide guitar player.
Oh, nice.
I never played slide guitar before in my life, and I just heard it in my head for this song. So I just went searching through our medicine cabinet for anything round that would work. I dragged a bunch of stuff into the bedroom and tried each one out until I found just the right thing.
Wow. What did you end up using as your slide?
I believe it was a mascara holder, you know, like a tube of mascara. I think it was plastic, though.
Interesting. Sure. Well, Richard X. Heyman, it's been a pleasure, and hope to have you on the show again soon. We're going to hear the song Verges on Day. Thanks, Richard.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mike.